I started out this sermon series a few weeks ago by saying that there has been an attack on the family over the past few decades, especially over the past few decades. From my own experience and from my own perspective, I have seen how there are certain institutions that are determined to break up the family, at least in the way that we understand family. That they want to remove the parents' role as being the primary influencers over their children. I've seen how the powers that be are trying to convince us that government agencies are better equipped for raising our children than we are. Now, has the government proven itself to be trustworthy in doing anything effectively, efficiently, or with a good motive? Not much. But these government-run agencies have their ideas about what children need in order to learn and develop. You know, children need permission from their parents to get a tattoo. They can't buy cigarettes, but hey, they should be able to make a life-altering decision to change their gender these days. As we've seen parental rights diminished, our kids being heavily influenced by a secular society, we're also seeing the devastating problems that are happening as a result of this for our adolescents and our children. We've seen how there is this increased promiscuity in teen pregnancies. We've seen increased drug use, depression, suicidal thoughts, increased admission to behavioral health units or juvenile detention centers. We've seen how these negative impacts are far-reaching. And the problem for many of us parents today is that it seems as if we've got our hands tied. You know, what can we do? We often feel, well, we have no choice. We have to allow our children to be influenced by the ungodly people who are instructing them. And we dare not spank our kids, or else we're going to be arrested for child abuse. But parents today, many parents today also act like they're just too busy to care for their children. And they don't feel that they are equipped to train and teach them effectively. And so we allow the so-called experts to do it for us. We're in a society where we have to take everything to the professionals. And at the same time, our children are becoming more unruly. They are disrespectful toward us and toward others. So what can we do? Can we turn the tide, or is it too late? Well, I don't know about you, but I believe in a powerful God. And I know that God's word is sufficient to equip us with the tools that we need for training, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. I said training twice. Teaching is in there also. Today's sermon is primarily addressed to parents and children. But you know, all of us need to hear what the Bible has to say in these matters so that we can understand what needs to be done to train up the next generation of individuals so that they can know and fear the Lord. This is our responsibility as Christians. So listen to Paul's words, just four verses here at the beginning of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is God's word. Now, in the previous chapter, in Ephesians 5, we saw that Paul mentioned the importance of a wife's submission to her husband. You see, God has set up this structure of authority in the family and so that there is order. And now Paul transitions to the children of the household. And he says that they are to submit to their parents' authority. And if you notice in the following verses, Paul gives instructions pertaining to the master-slave relationship. So it's quite clear that what we find in this letter is Paul making this case. He's explaining how our relationships will function better when we show respect and when we humbly submit to those who are in authority over us. When it comes to the expectations for children, the Bible consistently shows us that they need to learn to respect their parents' authority. Children who ignore and despise their parents are more likely to disregard other authority figures as well. They're probably going to hate the police or anyone who gives them instructions, employers, whatever. But realistically, God has placed these children in their parents' homes. So if they despise their parents, they're showing that they don't respect the authority that God has ordained for them. And it's more likely that these children will then grow up rejecting and having no respect for God. It's not a guarantee, but it's more likely. Now, when Paul instructs the children to honor and obey their parents, he's not saying that they need to do this simply because he feels it's the right thing to do. Instead, Paul uses scripture to back up his claim. And where does he go? He goes right to the Ten Commandments, specifically to the fifth commandment. Paul reminds us that honoring your father and your mother is included in God's moral law. When a child refuses to honor his parents, he or she is willfully sinning against God. Now, as we consider God's moral law, we can't disregard some commandments and say, well, we're focusing on these ones instead. We can't assume that God's going to just be okay if we say, God, I know you said that I need to do that, but I'm going to ignore it. Now, I get that there are some parents who are ungodly. I know that there are parents who have shown themselves to be unworthy of respect. But I also recognize that Jesus told us that we are even to love our enemies. So if a child can still show respect to a parent, while at the same time choosing that he's going to follow God's will rather than being led into sin by a dishonorable parent. But Paul shows us another reason why a child is to obey this command. It's not that children are just going to have to endure their trials while they submit to their parents' authority. He says, with this command, there comes a blessing. God has said that children will, generally speaking, live long, that they will prosper in the land when they do this. So we see this general pattern. Children thrive when they are seeking God's will, when they are honoring their parents. So how does a child honor his parents and show his mother and father respect? Well, one way he does this, obviously, is through his obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we as parents tend to love that verse, don't we? We used to have it posted in our kitchen as this constant reminder to our kids. What is Ephesians 6:1? They knew it. When we need to correct a disobedient child, we can tell them, God has given us this command for children to obey their parents. God said it. It didn't originate with me. Talk to God if you have complaints. Now, but we see this emphasized throughout all Scripture, don't we? For instance, in the book of Proverbs, we see so many verses proclaiming the blessings that we experience from obedient children. Listen to these words from Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Hear the blessing in these verses. Proverbs 2, verses 1 and 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Proverbs 6, verses 20 and 23. My son, keep your father's commandment. Forsake not your mother's teaching. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. And finally, one more for us. Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. So we see here that obedient children find enjoyment in life, and they are a blessing to their parents. On the other hand, disobedient children bring shame to their parents, and they also suffer. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul proclaimed that there would be terrible times in the last days. And he gives this long list of all these sinful attitudes and behaviors that would mark the ungodly during the last days, which started after the resurrection but intensifies as we come closer to the end, to the second coming. So in that list, he mentions how people will be marked by greed, by their violent and slanderous tendencies, their lack of self-control, their rebellion against God. And right there in the middle of that list, Paul includes this very sin. He said that children will be disobedient to their parents. Now, as we're getting further in what we call the last days, I think we can all agree that children are becoming more and more disobedient. And as parents, we have a duty to help our children to understand it is God's desire for them to submit to our authority, to obey our instructions. But honestly, we as parents are held accountable for how we train our children. You see, Paul says in Ephesians 6:1, children are to obey their parents. He doesn't just put a period there, but he says, in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. We shouldn't expect our children to obey us no matter what ungodly commands we give them. Nor can we have this angry and bitter disposition toward our kids or behave however we want and expect that they're just going to submit to us wholeheartedly. To obey your parents in the Lord means that when we guide our children according to God's will, then they are to obey. When our instruction would cause them to sin, however, they should obey God rather than man. Now, the Bible is clear that parents have this responsibility. We are to teach our children. We are to train up our children. Parents should be, especially Christian parents, should be the primary individuals influencing their children's development. That's probably the main reason why we choose to homeschool. We can give our kids an education with a Christian perspective, rather than one that generally originates from an anti-Christian worldview. Now, of course, you can still faithfully train your children if they attend a public school, but you're going to have to be a lot more diligent in teaching truth and correcting falsehood. But the main focus for us as parents in training our children is that we are to teach them God's word. The passage that Lee read earlier from Deuteronomy 6 is known as the Shema. It was an extremely familiar passage to the Jews and probably to many of us as well. This passage serves as a reminder that parents are to teach their children God's word, and they are to teach frequently. What does it say there? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, all the time. God's word should be on our lips constantly. God knew the importance of passing his word and his law down to the following generations. You see, when the Israelites forgot the Lord, when they turned away from his commands, what did they do? They started chasing after other gods, and they chased after their own sinful desires, and that led to painful trials. Likewise, we have a responsibility to teach God's word to our kids. Teach them who God is. Teach them what he requires of us. Teach them the gospel. If God's word is not important enough for us to talk about, do you really think they're going to listen to somebody else talk about it? We cannot leave our children's biblical training only to whom we consider to be the experts, you know, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or whatever. Sunday school is not enough. Yes, it's a very useful supplement, but parents must be the primary Bible instructors for their kids. This is our duty. If we don't care enough about our children's spiritual well-being, as we've seen, the results can be devastating. Proverbs 22, verse 6 gives us a general principle that those who faithfully lay down a foundation of biblical instruction will see their kids grow into God-fearing adults. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is not a guarantee that if we do our responsibility, then 100% our child will follow the Lord. It's not a guarantee. Proverbs are meant to be general life principles. This is generally what happens when we are faithful. But again, there is this expectation that parents who faithfully teach God's word are giving their kids this solid foundation so that they can build their lives upon this, rather than building on the shifting sands of relativism in our culture. Timothy is an example of someone who received solid biblical training as a child. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul mentions how Timothy's faith was formed in part by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. These godly women in Timothy's life taught him the scriptures during his childhood. Later on in this letter, Paul encouraged Timothy, saying, continue in what you have learned and believed from childhood. You see, this teaching that he received from his mother and grandmother gave Timothy a good foundation. And this helped his faith to blossom once the gospel was fully explained to him. As we see in Ephesians 6:4, parents must not only instruct their children in the ways of the Lord, but they are also expected to give godly discipline. Proverbs 13:24 tells us that loving parents will discipline their children. And sometimes this involves physical punishment. It says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, today's pop psychologists tell us it's abusive to spank a child. But when we discipline our children in love, not in vengeance, but in love, and then we follow it up with wise instruction, this will prove extremely helpful to our children. And honestly, it would actually be more abusive for a child to neglect, or for a parent to neglect his child. How is it working for these kids who are spoiled and allowed to do whatever they want? It doesn't work. Hebrews 12 shows us that a godly father will discipline an unruly child. Why? Because he loves him. He wants to correct him. We are told God even does this to us. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. In fact, it says there in Hebrews 12, if we are not receiving God's discipline, then that should scare us. Because it implies we are illegitimate children, that we are not true sons of God. God disciplines those he loves. But as with all discipline, we also need to include this positive and corrective side of discipline. A parent is as much like a coach who is training an athlete. As we saw in 1 Timothy 4, godliness is a discipline. It requires training. Children need constant teaching. They need constant practice in carrying out godly behaviors and attitudes. And we need to, as parents, make this training a joy so that our children will recognize the rewards of living a godly life. Now, when it comes to spiritual training, whether it's in the family or in the church, we need to recognize that we can't simply say the right things to those under our authorities. We also need to set a good example for them. Mothers and fathers are to show their children what it looks like to live for the Lord. Now, I know we don't do this all the time. I know that we fail. But we need to heed these words. We see good examples in Scripture. For instance, in Joshua, in the Old Testament, we see this man who was committed to leading his family according to God's will. Joshua led his family, and he made this commitment that no matter who else is following God, he and his family would do it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so Joshua took this seriously. He was devoted to the Lord. He faithfully followed God's instructions as the general who was to lead the Israelite army. He was humble. He submitted to the Lord's servant Moses without grumbling. And of course, he was the one of the few Israelites who trusted that God was going to give them Canaan. He didn't fear those intimidating people of the land, but he trusted the Lord. Joshua faithfully led his family and that entire generation of Israelites who had come into the land of promise. Scripture even shows us that spiritual parents can train up the children in the faith by their example. Paul referred to Timothy as my true child in the faith. You see that in 1 Timothy 1:2. In Acts 16, verse 1, we meet Timothy, this man of whom it was said that his mother was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So it seems that Timothy's father did not accept the Christian faith. So was Timothy lost? Did he not have a role model? No, he looked up to Paul as the man who would teach him God's ways, as a spiritual father. Paul shows us how mature Christian men and women can mentor the upcoming generation of new believers. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me. And then he reminded Timothy that he shared the gospel with him. And he says, now you go and do likewise. Find faithful men who you can share the gospel with. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul also wrote to the Thessalonians. He said that when he and his missionary companions went there to Thessalonica, how did he behave toward them? He says, we were like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. He said, we exhorted you like a father with his children to live out your faith. So we can find that there are some new believers who don't have godly parents to train them. As a church, we can come alongside and help these children. We can act like spiritual parents. And we can also find examples in Scripture of believing parents who unfortunately gave in to terrible sins, and these sins had lasting effects on their children. And we should heed these words as warnings. For instance, King David was said to be a man after God's own heart. He was faithful to the Lord, and yet David had some serious sin problems. David committed adultery. He had multiple wives. These sexual sins caused grievous problems for David, but also for his family. David's daughter was raped by her half-brother, and then he was killed by his half-brother. David failed to handle the situation, and what happened? It led to Absalom's contempt and rebellion against his father. So David's sexual sins and his apathy affected his children in a terrible way. And then we see Jacob. Yes, a man who followed the Lord, but he had his own sins as well. And his favoritism of Joseph led to the envy and violence that was enacted upon Joseph by his brothers. Our sins can have terrible lasting effects on our children, especially if we're not diligent to confess our sins to our children and do whatever we can to turn away from them. It's important for us to set a good example. We shouldn't say one thing, say the right thing, and then behave in a different way. Children can see through the hypocrisy. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for being hypocrites. These rebukes are valid for us as parents as well. Now, I say all these things knowing that parenting is not easy. We need help. We need to work hard so that we can strive to be the role models that our kids can look up to. Our children will be influenced by how we behave. We need to recognize our sinful behaviors, confess them, and do what we can to turn away. Do we want our kids to follow the upright attitudes and behaviors that we display, or are we leaving a legacy of ungodliness that might provoke them to anger? Now again, we all fail. We all fail. I failed many times. But this day, are we going to choose to continue to be on a path of ungodliness? Or will we show our children that God is merciful toward us? And God can be merciful toward them when we confess and repent. You see, even our failures can prove to be good teaching moments for our children. So if we desire to point them to Christ, then let us do whatever we can to make sure that we are following Him. Turning away from self. Turning to Christ. I felt the need to preach this sermon series on what it looks like to have God-centered families. And just like everything else, the culture has taken something good, the family, and they've perverted it. People nowadays simply assume that it's normal to have a dysfunctional family. That they think, well, yeah, I mean, this might be a marriage that could end in divorce, or these children are just going to be unruly, hating their parents. We think that's normal. But this isn't the way God created the family. Remember, we started in Genesis 2. We saw how God ordained marriage to be this lifelong relationship of love between a man and his wife. Then we took this journey through Scripture, seeing how God has instructed us how we can be godly men and women. We can't do this on our own. We need God's help. We need to be committed to our spouse. We need to be committed to raising our children in ways that are pleasing to God. If we are faithful in doing things God's ways, He will bless us. Will it be hard? You better believe it. Probably the hardest thing you'll ever do is raising up a family. But will it be worth it? It will. But I don't want us to come away from this sermon series thinking that, well, just try harder and you've got this. No, God has given us these instructions. Turn to His Word and rely upon Him through prayer and through the strength and wisdom of the Holy Spirit so that we can carry this out to the glory of God. But this also implies that we have to be true believers. Now, if you think that you've proven that you are a good spouse or a good parent by your own will and by your own determination, that comes from an attitude of pride. We are to be humble. We must know that we can only do this in God's strength. We are to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord. Only God can give us a new heart and a new spirit so that we can live in ways that will please Him. We must turn to the Lord in faith so that the Holy Spirit can help us to walk in faithfulness, to carry out these commands, not perfectly. It may be a battle, but God can help us. And apart from Christ, we have nothing. So as a final word, let us be reminded of these words from Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Let's pray. Father, this has been a sobering reminder for us. Parenting is harder than any occupation that I've ever experienced. And I'm sure it's the same for most people. It requires discipline. It requires thoughtfulness. It requires dying to self, putting on Christ. Every day. And Lord, I know for myself that I must choose this every day. This has to be a daily choice. I need to constantly rely upon You in all things, especially when it comes to raising a family, a physical family, and even, yes, a spiritual family. We have an obligation as Christians to point others to Christ, especially those who are newer to the faith, especially to our children. Empower us, Lord. We cannot do this on our own. It's only through You that we can live in ways that will glorify You and that will give our children and our families and our church the things that You desire. Amen.